And here we are with Pilikia Pono with Maka'ala Kaumuana and Mauna Kea Trask. It's going to be another exciting show. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei K-A-Q-A Kilauea. And here we go.
Aloha kakahiaka. We are so happy to have you with us. It's not exactly a rainy day, but it's off and on. Typical Kauai stuff. Springtime weather. The ocean's coming down a little bit, which actually makes me a little happier because we have fewer accidents. But, you know, the surfers are looking a little glum these days. You know, it is what it is. Good morning, Mauna. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good.
Just folks, just in case you wonder how this works, there is like no, you know, 6 month, 3 month, 1 month, 1 day plan ahead. Sometimes for what we talk about, we try to hit some of the highlights of things that are happening right now, mixed in with some historical references and facts, and it is a call-in show. If you'd like to call in, the number is 808-826-7771. Join the conversation or ask a question or offer an opinion. It's okay with us. We enjoy that part. And it is also worth noting that Mauna Kea has generously supplied references and citations and information sources on kkcr.org, the archives for this show. So anything that he references or says, so-and-so said, so-and-so wrote, you can find the whole reference there, which I think is probably fairly unique in the radio world. And we thank you, Mauna, for doing that, because oftentimes we say something and somebody goes, well, that can't be right. Or that's not what I learned. And you can find out where he's learning what he's learning and what we are discussing. Of course, we go off track. Of course, there's some personal opinion, but we really try to limit that and try to keep it to what actually happened or what, you know, logically could happen. We appreciate that very much. That's an effort that is worthwhile. So, Mauna, it is Wednesday at 7 a.m., and here we are. What are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, you know, like we said, or you said, there is prep that goes in, but it kind of changes, and I think between two of us, we have one fully formed attention deficit disorder person.
Yeah.
So, and slightly autistic, perhaps. But
we'd both be on the spectrum where we were 20 years ago.
Yeah, I was thinking that we could talk about, while I was going over whatever topic we initially discussed, I heard a couple political ads social media. Aaron was listening to some, or heard some, and I heard a few old friends, a few very old friends, both new and prior council members. They're running again in November, and a big discussion was housing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about Hawaiian history and culture and development and politics. And so I think that housing is always a good thing to talk about, and it really pulls in and touches on every subject that we discuss. So, and we're going into a political season. This November, we will be electing new council members and a new mayor. Yeah.
It could be a regime change.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of movement. And I think council members, what is it, Mel, Bernard, and Felicia term out, right?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Forget.
No, I think that's it. And then Well, I know that there's four openings, so there has to be somebody else.
Yeah, some woman person. And maybe Kipu Kai, too. I'm not sure.
Yes.
But in any event.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And Mel and Bernard have declared what they'd like to do. Well, and Felicia have declared what they'd like to do next. Kipu Kai has always been a busy boy. He's always had other work, especially at the YWCA and family business and all the rest of it, because his name is Kipu Kai. Since we're talking this way, guess what Laura just remembered? she better absolve KKCR.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Better late than never.
Oh, that's so funny.
The timing, always the timing. You know, we did have a script. We used to use one. It turned into kind of a joke because we didn't follow it anyway. So I said, screw it, and stopped typing. But the disclaimer is kind of important. So this is a conversation between Mauna Kea and myself, and occasionally Laura because she can't help herself, and once in a while one of you that will chime in. Okay, so yes, we're going to have four openings. We know what three of them would like to do next. The fourth is Mystery Man, but I know that Kipu Kai will always be busy. He's very involved in Hawaiian things and Anahola things, and it's interesting. He's always been involved in YWCA, YMCA stuff, and I give him due credit for that because, you know, working for those kinds of nonprofits is very seldom profitable. But it's work of the heart. So what was your point before I derailed us and Laura decided that she better try to keep us out of prison? okay, housing. And so we've got four openings it seems to be an emphasis, at least on a couple of their parts, on what do we do with our rubbish, which some of us call garbage. And then housing. Those seem to be the two pressing issues. I have others, but I think those seem to be the highlights anyway for now. So where were you going with that?
Yeah, and so they're all kind of interrelated. So I think that, you know, the great thing about an election year is you really have the opportunity to choose your leaders. And it's the most direct. Well, it's not like jury duty, but it's one of the more direct opportunities for people to participate in the system, right?
Yeah.
And we're not, you know, not everyone gets to vote for their leaders in this world. And so it's it's a great time. And with it, though, comes a lot of responsibility. And I think it's incumbent upon people with a voice to, you know, put information out there, and I haven't sent links in a little bit, but today definitely we'll populate the website with links to, and this is all going to refer to existing county plans, so people have the information out there, because it's going to sound a little controversial. But basically, when everyone goes to the polls, and it would be great if we had record numbers this year, it'd be good if everyone knew what we were dealing with. And leading up to November, people can understand, you know, what everyone wants housing, but what does that entail? And they're going to get a lot of promises. And people have been in good faith making promises for decades. And we've only sunk deeper into the housing crisis. And really for everyone in the community to look inward at themselves and their, you know, and evaluate their wants and needs and dreams and hopes and fantasies and see, like, okay, if we really want housing, what needs to be done? And if someone's promising housing, do they understand what needs to be done? And will they deliver on it? how pragmatic will they be? And so I think starting from there would be, and discussing those issues is what we can do today.
Okay. So starting with the fact that there is no single issue, because if you're discussing housing, you're discussing water and power and rubbish and transportation and roads and all that stuff that goes with it, right? Nothing functions in isolation. And there's been quite a fairly successful effort statewide and some in Kauai County to concentrate housing where people might not need a car, where people can work close enough to where they live. I know that's been talked about a great deal, and I think in a couple of cases it's been fairly well done. Lihue is a good example. But it's the problem is it's the tip of the iceberg. You know, we say, oh, this is really cool. We're building 400 units. Yeah, we only need 4,000 more. You know, it's like...
Yeah, well, actually, 4,600 more.
There's my detail. It doesn't seem like no matter what we do, it's enough unless we come up with something that's really novel. I mean, it's almost like creating... Remember Second City on Oahu? Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the point of that, right? It was you can't just build housing way out there and expect people to commute. So let's just build a whole second city. Let's reduce the need for them to commute. Let's put work and play and live all in one brand new place.
That's really good, but traffic is still crazy on Oahu.
Well, then they built a train, and I'm not so sure the train is addressing that issue. I mean, I only see the train from the air fly over and go, huh? Wonder if that's solving anything. Anyway, I think for our purposes, for our discussion. Was housing always an issue? Was housing a brand new issue?
So housing, just getting into it, housing is always been an issue, right? Hawaiians had to really, at the time of, as society developed from 300 to 600 AD until right before contact, really was based on labor, right? The increasing complexity of managing the ahupua'a, the increasing size and frequency of wars for conquest and political power. You need bodies. We didn't have beasts of burden, so no cows, no oxen, no goats. Everything was human backs and human hands. So you need people. And for people, you need to house them. And like in many deeds nowadays, even the chief's claim to land was subject to the rights of native tenants, right? So there's always that, and we talk about this all the time. There was the right to use, not to possess, but to use. So housing is the fundamental principle of all that. And in Hawaii, you had the kauhale kind of development, which, as we know, the Hawaiian culture was stratified. It was, segregated according to gender. And so there was the kane house, the wahine house, the cooking house, the ma'i house. So every family had multiple housing. And now we have single-family residential. So Hawaiians, I think, per capita, probably develop more densely than we do now. There was more went into a family because men and women didn't live together. Men did all the cooking, so women couldn't touch food. And so there was all these kind of rules. And so that, and we moved away, significantly far away from that. Then you had, Hawaii being a series of singular economic exercises. So nothing really changed during the whaling and sandalwood era. It was very much still, traditional. But then when we get into sugar, that's when you see the big change as far as land use. So everything got thrown into ag. And you have the Land Study Bureau soil classification system, which is they rate ag lands from A being the most productive to E being the least. And there's a lot of work out there. You know, when these classifications are made in the later part of the 20th century, like the 1960s, 70s and stuff, I think that's the time, that because the sugarcane companies ran everything, government, business, largest landowners, everything, default classification was ag, whether it's state land use, agricultural district, or county agriculture zoning. And a lot of land out there is in the poor soil classification ranges, so D and E lands. And then at the 70s, you know, ag had kind of been dying out since the mid 20th century. And then Hawaii put a lot into genetic engineering for the sugar crops to try to keep them productive, more water resilient, all this kind of stuff. But ultimately, corn syrup put a nail in that coffin, and we moved to the tourist industry now. That's the economic era we're in. Land is just, and ag always had a problem with transportation costs, labor costs, shipping costs, all this kind of stuff, which makes ag very difficult in Hawaii. And again, if you can look at it a certain way, the down payment for agriculture in Hawaii was, you know, the kingdom, really. And then you had, I mean, cheap lease lands, dollar a year, 99 years, since pretty much its inception. And huge government subsidies, liability waivers for the ag companies, all necessary to keep the industry going. And then in the 70s, what you saw is this short, and everyone lived in camps, right? You had the different camps. You had the plantation era. And then about the 70s, early 70s, late 60s, you saw a lot of our current housing is pretty much when that was all built. So the entire residential areas of Kilauea was from the plantations.
It survived after the plantation closed up there. It survived because of the development of Princeville.
Yeah, and then everyone worked tourism, right? And Princeville was one of the first, I think, of those kind of developments in Hawaii.
Right.
And then you got the zoning, and south side is, you know, Poipukoloa is the other polar development. So in any event, now we're going to, okay, where are we going now? And we're still using that old sugar inventory to house everyone, and we're not developing anything new. So as of now, according to the draft East Kauai Circulation and Development Plan, which the planning department has been hard at work on, it's a really good document. We'll put the links on it, but you can just Google it. I think it's still in draft form, but they say, you know, in the general plan in 2018, it said we need about 3,000 new houses. Now it's up to 5,000. And if I remember right, we need about 400 a year to house everyone. And this is new houses within the next 10 years or something like that.
Is that even possible?
Well, and this is where, okay, so going on to that, we get about, I think about 37 new units were developed last year, which is nowhere near where we need to go. And the thing is, government...
37 or
3,700? 37.
Shee-many Christmas.
Yeah. No, we're not doing it. It's just not.
Clearly we're not doing it. Yeah. And it's not... It's not because large landowners haven't offered up some land, because they have.
Developers want to develop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what's stopping it. You know, you've got the labor force scrambling. You've got land developers wanting to develop. You've got land. You know, what's stopping it?
Okay. So I this is a little before my time. I think it's a little before your time, too. But do you remember that Pogo cartoons?
That was
there
gently
a cartoon called
said.
Pogo? Is that you? Are you that old?
No, it just keep going. We'll just pretend you didn't say that.
So I think there was like, and I don't know, but I've read that there was some kind of pretty profound quote out of that cartoon, which is like, I've looked at the enemy and it is us. Am I thinking about Heart of Darkness? Oh, I don't know. It's
sure,
early.
Sure. Oh, I was busy reading Bloomfield, but okay.
But I think, you know, when we look at it, we want housing, but it really seems to me, and I'm guilty of this too, to some degree, that we don't want to develop. You know, like I was raised in the plantation, the end of the plantation area in Kauai. So to me, I still remember, you know, cane trucks with the chain bellies and cane all over the road and squished toads and all that stuff. I remember when you drive, I would drive, you know, on the way to Kalaheo, you could look down across Kihili. You could actually see the ocean.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You could see the place. We knew our place because we could see our place. We had a perspective of being an island because we could see the ocean around us. And as that gets blocked off, we lose the whole perspective of we are an island. You know, it starts to look like every other land base that we've ever experienced, right? I mean, even going down the highway now, it's hard to find the little pukas of what we call viewplanes, right? That give you perspective. That's right, we are an island. And refresh my, at least for me, it refreshes my angle of approach to these conversations, where I want development, where I think it should be. It shouldn't be between me and that. It should be between me and something else, but not between me and the ocean that gives me the reference, the frame of reference that that life is finite and that we can't just keep producing rubbish and that we can't, you know, take in as many people as we would like, and we can't build 1,000 more hotels and that kind of thing. Because every time I see the ocean, I'm reminded that I'm on a rock. And that's it's a good reminder. I remember the first time I ever heard anybody talk about viewplanes in Northern California, and I thought, yeah, it's nice to see the nice expanse. It's nice to see the occasional cow. And once in a while, it's nice to see the ocean. Once in a while, it's nice to have a mountain view off in the distance and see the snow and da-da-da. But in my brain, I was going, yeah, it's nice. It's an amenity. It's a luxury. It's a. Isn't that nice? You know, it's a pretty thing. It's a special thing. But it isn't just a special thing when you live on an island. It's a critical thing. Not only do you need to see where you are to identify who you are and what you need, but you also need to see your resources. You need to see where you would catch dinner, where you would go fishing. Viewplanes are not a luxury here. They're critical. They're a form of access. They're an access for your brain, an access for your history, an access for your life, for your reality. It's a different kind of thing. I should write a book on that because I really feel strongly about viewplanes. I mean,
we had great viewplanes.
Yes,
and
they're going away.
No, they're gone.
Yeah,
there was not the Albizia. Yeah, the Albizia. Issue. We didn't have that. It's a trip. Like right now, people come to Kauai, Garden Island. How beautiful! I agree. I'm not arguing that point, but they don't know that they're looking at an untended garden. There are so many weeds in our garden. It's embarrassing. And I think that I think one of the points of this show is we provide historical context. And the reason why we do that is so we don't get tied to any specific era. Like we don't get caught in our own romantic notions of the past, our limited experience.
when you can go back to the, you know, to initial colonization of Hawaii by the Polynesians, where it was a birdland, right? There was ohia forest all the way up to the high water mark. And Hawaiians decimated that issue. Like, go to the Mahalapu caves.
Yeah.
Or bird bones.
Try.
And that's, it is what it is. Like get away from the good, bad value judgment. It is what it is. Sandalwood area killed all the sandalwood. And Hawaiians did it in part on purpose because the chiefs, a lot of chiefs were so into luxury goods and conspicuous consumption that the Hawaiians couldn't tend their fields, the lo'i, and they were just killing baby sandalwood. So they ruined the resource to preserve themselves. And then we went into plantation era, and that changed everything. I mean, cultural sites. And this, I mean, Hawaiians, you know, of course, the chiefs ordered the heiaus toppled, and Queen Deborah Kapule turned Malai Heiau into a cattle pen, and that happened all over the place. But sugar, you know, they doze everything. I'm reading this, the Kirch's Anahulu study, which is like that, there's this valley, North Shore. And Wahiawa sugar, I mean, they dozed everything over in order to make room for plantation camps and ag fields.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not saying that's good or bad. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happened. And so if we look at that now, right now, at this moment in time, we need to build 5,000 houses. We need to mow down Albizia. What are we losing? Some could say nothing. We could gain view planes, right? So it's all how we look at this. But you touched on an important point, which is, what are the impediments to housing? And there is a degree of stuff that says, okay, we need to look at novel solutions, right, to build houses, and traffic being one of them. And I think COVID showed that we can do a lot of remote work. You don't need to be in an office. Some people are lamenting that. Some people are celebrating it. But if you can log in, I know certain offices at the county, a lot of their staff works remotely.
Their bosses tell me directly that, in fact, there's solid evidence that they are more productive. When you can, and
yeah.
I'm gonna be graphic here, folks, so just, you know, get over it. You can get up and pee when you need to get up and pee. Get a glass of tea when you need a glass of tea. You can, you know, let the dog out when you need to let the dog out. And you're actually more productive. You're not getting calls from home saying, you know, oh, my God, this is happening or that's happening. You're right there. I find, personally, I'm much more productive at home than I am because I can eat. And so there's food on my desk as well, which my computer is not thrilled about. But, you know, there's reasons why I'm more productive at home. Plus, many fewer interruptions. Okay, so we don't all need to be there. But I argue against that as a full-time boogie because I need at least to be with other people to put things in perspective, to say, so this is what I'm reading, this is what I'm writing, what do you think? I need to bounce it off another human. That's hard to do when you're sitting by yourself at home.
And I think that's the issue is, you know, technology is it's a perennial thing. It's always moving forward. And we don't need to do everything one way, or we don't have to, like, make such drastic changes. But it's like school. In the summertime, traffic goes away a lot of times.
Yeah, because we're not delivering, you know, those little brats to the little concrete jungles. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Okay, so and this is the monthly reminder that Laura passes me. She should just Xerox the bugger and tape it to my forehead or something here in the studio. At any rate, if you're just tuning in, this is KKCR, and this is Pilikia or Pono, and this is Mauna Kea, and myself, Makaala. And we do accept your calls, 808-826-7771. And I'm not sure what Laura's busy typing away, but it concerns me a little bit. It's the summary of the show, yes. but when she's typing while I'm talking, you don't think I don't get concerned? Yeah, I was like, I'm not so sure that's such a good idea. anyway, okay, so the argument is we don't all need to be on the roads every day. The argument is, I don't know what the argument is about the post office, man. And I can't figure it out. The pharmacy, you can get stuff in the mail. Still got to get it in the mail.
Post office.
I have certain things that I'm clinging to. And I will tell you straight up that I've had some fairly exercised conversations with the folks at the county that used to run the elections, because I love those people. They worked their butts off on election day and election night. And I worked the precinct in Hanalei for 20 years, and so did many others. Barbara Robeson was a great leader for many, many years. It was a chance to catch up with folks, and you physically cast your ballot and watch it go through the machine. There's certain human interactions that we require. Otherwise, we never would have all hooey'd up in the cave, right? I mean, it's my same argument about why we develop language. We develop language, in my opinion, in order to say to the guy sitting next to us, did you see that? You know, to share, you know, whatever experience there was. So I think housing, we need to be careful and thoughtful. And I think we are careful and thoughtful about helping us stay together, being together, having room to grow things and see pretty flowers, retaining view planes so that you can see the space around you, you know, not imprisoning us. Those kinds of things. When you start to sit down and write out all those criteria, you limit your possibilities about where you're going to build these 5,000 homes.
Well, this is the thing. So we have, there are novel solutions, you know, and remote work and technology is one of them. And I really think that we need to go forward with the understanding of, you know, the Moku Ahuwhua system, because the Hawaiians, again, and we talked about this a couple of shows ago, they didn't choose their social, you know, development structure. It evolved over time. And that's what works when you live on a small island. You actually have to stay, I think, in your own zones. Much like when I grew up, you stayed on your own side of the island. You wouldn't go to from the east side, you don't go west side without an invitation.
We've talked about this many, many times. It's an odd thing. And nowadays, we just had a huge funeral and a tragedy in the North Shore. And people, I didn't go because the crowd was going to be too big and my husband is fragile. And so I stayed home with him. But I mean, I know it was enormous, and I know it was people from all over. And sometimes they're really happy to see each other. Sometimes it's reconnecting family. But we didn't do that very often. You know, that was, if you were related, you tend to live in the same place. I've only ever been, just for folks' reference, I live on the North Shore. I've only ever been in the water in Kealia. Once. I've only ever been in the ocean water in Anahola once. It's not my water. I don't know the currents. I don't know the things that would bite me. I don't know the water. I just don't think it's Pono. I don't think it's right. I don't think I need to be there. There's water in my own hood that I'm familiar with. Not everybody is acting like that anymore. They run out of fish on the west side and they come and, you know, fish Hanalei like crazy. And I scold. You know, the reason you're up here, I know why you're up here. You're up here because you know more on your side. Yeah, the Moku system, there's true value in that. But not every Moku has land available for development either.
And I think they do. And this is where we're getting to it. So the novel issues aside, you know, and this is, I think, where a lot of the discussion likes to stay. And we like to stay there because we can avoid the really tough questions. Because we cannot build housing. We cannot sustain ourselves. Our community now. More Hawaiians live outside of Hawaii than inside Hawaii. And that's been true for a few years. That will only get worse unless we build. And we have zoning. We have land use districting. We have these tools. We have the maps. We have the updated general plan, which got to be updated shortly again. But we have water use development studies, water use development plans. We have the new East Kauai circulation and community plan, or whatever it's called. But and we cannot escape the hard truths, the politically unexpedient needs and decisions that have to be made to actually solve this problem. And the only way to solve the problem is to build houses. There is no way to develop housing without developing housing. And so we have to look at the hard stuff. And so getting on to that, again, we need 5,000 new homes. We're nowhere near that. And this is a couple of quotes from the county studies. Is yet, limited developable land and infrastructure availability pose major challenges. And those are wastewater, potable water, solid waste, roads, that type of infrastructure. Now, looking at it, there is land. The land is districted. It's been studied. We know where the zones are. So it's not identifying where it is. We've identified and we've known where it is for decades. As far as wastewater goes, this is a huge issue. And all of this is expensive. It's like that movie 300. Like, this is going to be painful. You're not going to like this. It will not be over quickly. There will be adverse effects. In some cases, there will be significant adverse effects. They will be disclosed in environmental documents, but we need to push through anyway if we want to solve this problem. If we want billionaires and Elon Musk and these guys to buy out Kauai and we just have to get priced out, we can do that too. Hawaiian's been sailing and moving on for thousands of years. The next place appears to be California and Vegas. So unless you want to get in the double hull again, we got to develop this place. But the good news is there's plenty of water. There's plenty of land. I think there's a lot we can do, like you said, to minimize our trash. And you talked about mail. Mail is an important thing. And every day at my house, there's a new package for either my daughter or someone. And, you know, so what are we doing here, right? And how are we using our facilities? We need to cut down on waste because the landfill, I think, is one of the biggest issues. And one of the most expensive.
Well, and it's the most urgent right now. It's really the most urgent right now because we're maxed out. And then what do you do? And a whole lot of the mail that I get is unsolicited and unwanted. And try to stop it. I dare you. If you come up with a system of stopping the kind of crap that I get in the mail, even from companies that say, "Oh, please do let us know if you'd like to go paperless." So I let them know I'd like to go paperless, and they continued to send the stuff. Stop doesn't even work. There's that. In the old days, we burned it against the coconut tree. You know, that's what we do. And thankfully, paper will sort of, you know, eventually dissolve. But it's a quality of life situation. Do you want to be able to see the ocean? Do you need it? Does your spirit and your soul and your life need it? Do you need to be able, you know, that you have to identify for yourself? My father used to say, is this something you want or something you need? And I will tell you that you, when you sit down and try to decide if it's something you want, whether it's a dress or whatever, something you want or something you need, it can be a tough analysis.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, they're not mutually exclusive, right? You can have both. And the thing is,
that argument never went anywhere with him.
but I think that, you know, if you're always going to be able to, like people say they want beach access, okay? Me too. It's a constitutional right. But when the county developed the bike path along, you know, the east side, mm-hmm. there was a lot of opposition to it. Mm-hmm. When that was the biggest fight in the 70s, like that preserves, in Kauai is the only place the Sierra Club like fights beach access and lateral paths. It's
mm-hmm.
odd,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's because we have such a strong anti-development sentiment. I mean, if you look at right now, go everyone Google the Department of Water Use Development Plan. The summary shows what full build out effect on sustainable yield would be throughout the island, in every ahupua and each moku. And if we did full build-out under the general plan, which is every hotel built, every house built, every industrial commercial space built, we would be nowhere, we would not exceed sustainable yield in any of the ahupua. And so, for example, Wainiha, full build-out, would use 0.54 million gallons a day. The sustainable yield is 24 million gallons a day. So at full build-out in Wainiha, you'd only hit 2%.
So water's not the issue.
Water's not the issue. And water's not the issue anywhere. But getting the water is, storing it, doing the transmission lines is. Again, when Department of Water wanted to do the gravity-fed well in Kaloa Lihui area, they were looking at piping out of the mountain at Kihili. Huge community opposition. They killed it at EISPN. But that would have brought down costs. It would have provided water, and there's a ton of water. Even full build-out of Kaloa would only reach 67% of the sustainable yield. Full build-out of Lihui, 77%. Full build-out Wailua, 3%.
So what I was taught, and this was in Northern California, what I was taught is you control development by water in or water out.
Exactly.
And here, it's not water in. Here, it's water out. It's what we do with the wastewater.
And so all these things, I think that, you know, what we need to do is address these hard questions. If we want to build out, then we need to support development as a community. We need to not stop and denigrate our political leaders when they take this bold action. Because a lot of this stuff, the reason why it doesn't happen is because imagine you're an elected official. It's not for the money. You're not doing it for the money. All those people are underpaid. And you need to, you know, they're looking to people to solve the housing crisis. And so the obvious answer is to develop. But then you'll get a ton of emails. You'll get raked on social media for, you know, desecrating the land, taking the water. Never mind that Kane would walk around the islands poking mountains with the o'o and taking water out. I mean, that's how we have springs. Right, that's the whole mo'olelo. And so, as a politician, you're not, in this time, you're not favored for taking that kind of necessary action. In other times, it was totally different. And I'm not saying these are perennial truths, but like during the early or mid 20th century, I mean, and you know this, California has no water. If they didn't have the CAP taking water from the Colorado River, California would not be anywhere near where it is and where it was, because all of its water comes from, you know, the Colorado-Arizona region. So, and when they built Hoover Dam, when they built, you know, all these kind of places, I don't know what they are, but Lake Mead maybe, I'm not sure. But people, you know, that was a big deal. Now, and admittedly to some ill effect, right? It's not going to be avoidable.
It's almost like we need to work with the oldest of the politicians that doesn't have a future plan for employment. You know, an older wise politician who has figured out, you know, that who knows these things to be true, but has no ambition to continue in the job. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons some of our national politicians are old, you know, because you can't take the risk in your early political career, right, of saying things that seem controversial. But if you look at the historical context of, for example, water and how it was managed, or viewplanes and how they were provided, kilo sites. We always needed kilo sites. We needed to see the conditions of the clouds and the sky and the horizon and the moon. We needed to see the conditions of the ocean to know whether we could, you know, go fish or not. Those things were protected for very practical reasons. It wasn't an aesthetic. It wasn't because it was pretty. It was because it was required.
And we can still have that. Development doesn't get away from it. You can request, and the Planning Commission, for instance, or whomever the authority would be, can require the maintenance of and the keeping kilo sites. You may have to, you know, there may be buildings around it.
You may have to
it.
Trade something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to stay pristine. And the point is, historically, what is pristine anyway? We don't live in a pristine Kauai. What are you judging it from? When? You know? And so let's look at now and what we need to go in the future. Because, again, canoes go forward. So I think that, and you bring up a really interesting point about the politics of this. Because every year or every election season we hear, we need new blood. We need fresh perspectives. We need all this stuff. And that's true to a point. But we also need the people who know what's going on. We also need kupunas. And politics is odd because it's the only profession where, for some reason, it seems more people want people who don't know what they're doing in the positions of decision-making. Like, no one goes, I got diabetes.
I want him because he doesn't know nothing, and he hasn't. Because he's not beholden to anybody. He's not attached to anything. He hasn't made any mistakes yet. He hasn't said anything or done anything, so he's got to be good. You know what I'm saying? No, I want the guy that's screwed up a couple times and learned from it. I want the guy that's lived a little. I want the guy that's had to work hard 2-3 jobs to, you know, get his kids through school and figure out how to keep them here if he wants them here. You know, that kind of thing. I want that guy. But I also support the younger people because they're brave. They say things no one else, you know, wants to say or can say.
But
you know,
if they know, but as long as they know what's going on, because I think we're getting to the point where as a community, we really can't afford someone's learning curve. I think a lot, and that's not to say that new people don't know. They do. I'm not saying they don't. I mean, you and I can both point to people who, I mean, hit the ground running.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to great.
And some of them, folks, please pay attention to your ballot. Some of them are running, and some of them are fabulous, and they don't come from a political background. They come from different experiences and different perspectives, but they know what's going on. They might not have the answers to things like housing, but those, you know, Mauna has just cited all these plans and all these works and thoughts and stuff, the people that have thought that through, what is it that we need? Where is it that we could put it? You know, some of that work's been done. You don't have to be a genius to do that. You need to have the guts to do it. And maybe connections and maybe not connections. Maybe you don't need to have had a career at one of the large landholders. Maybe you do. I think the council's been a balance of both, frankly.
Yeah, and we on Kauai especially, we need to work with large landowners because they own most of the island.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We state, I think, is the largest, and then we go down the line. But, you know, people decry the new landowners who bought a couple hundred acres here and there, but that's nothing compared to the old-timers. You know, I mean, like, we need to work with. That's why it kind of broke my heart a couple last year sometime. I was just randomly at Planning Commission. And
randomly at Planning Commission? Boy, were you bored?
No, I was there for a reason, but it wasn't my
it wasn't your issue.
But I saw, you know, the Robinsons were up for their hotel development by Pacala.
Yeah.
And to look at, and they were getting slammed.
Yeah.
For I thought, in my opinion, no good reason. Because if anybody has protected the Aina and the language and the culture of not only nearly a third of Kauai, but entirety of Niihau, arguably, right?
Yeah.
It can definitely be said, is them. And to see some of these Malihini who were there who, you know, proudly said they moved here 10 years ago or 20 years ago, which now that I'm old is, you know, I was already legal. I already had age when you came here. Mm. So you're new to me. Mm-hmm. And you're telling the Robinsons that they should look at ag, that they should look at organic farming.
Oh, like, jeez.
Come on, you guys. I mean, I'm sure they're doing that, it seemed, because they needed to. Because they got to pay their land tax. They got to do their thing. They got to support, right? And they're not, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about them, but for me, it caused me to speak. I try to bite my tongue at these things, but
yeah, you shouldn't sit in the Planning Commission if you're going to try not to speak.
But these are the Robinsons, man. Like, we need to work with them. Why is every large landowner? I'm not saying they're all good, but they're not all bad. And not every project is a bad project. And fortunately or not, housing is so expensive on Kauai to develop. The state can't afford to do it. The county can't afford to do it. The only people that can afford to do it are the developers. And the only way they can afford is if the county and the state grants them permits to do a moneymaker, and then they extract a housing.
Right. You get the other stuff. You get the other stuff because of it. This has been fascinating. These are issues. What Mauna's talking about right now is up every single day for us here on this island. And not just here.
Yeah.
But we're talking about here. It's up every single day. So if any of this interests you, entices you, get on the list for the county website, the County Planning Commission. Get on the list and just check out the agendas, and something will turn you on. Get on the agenda for the county council and show up, you know, every single time. The camera doesn't do it very often, but when it does, and public access television scans the audience, the seats are empty. Come on, get your nose in there. Take a risk. Say something you're not too sure of. Just say it. Say what you're thinking about. And that's what Pilikia or Pono is all about. And we appreciate the Kokua of Kauai Community Radio, folks. This is another one of those privileges that is rare. Rare teeth in this world today. In the world. Rare teeth. I don't know what they said. 235 stations left in the United States. It's pretty freaky. But, Mauna, we did it again. We did it again. And I can't decide if we don't get calls because we bore people to death, scare them off, or they're just so fascinated they forget to pick up the phone. they don't want to get it. It could be one.
I think I come across as angry because my daughter is always telling me, "Why are you mad?" So maybe even that. But let me finish one point before we go.
Okay.
I think getting to it, because we should provide some resolution, is that if we want to solve the housing issue, which I think is the most pressing issue because it touches everything, we need to, again, look at just Hawaiian culture. What's our base Hawaiian culture? What's our metaphors? Those. We have to look at our island and each other like a canoe and paddlers in a canoe. So we need to work with, you know, the let's say government steers, right? Steersman is the only guy that should be talking in the boat. Listen to him. Those are the guys.
Yep.
We have to work with the large landowners. Maybe they're 3 and 4. They sit in the middle. They're the biggest. They provide the power. You know, they're doing that thing. Five, and maybe 2, 1, 2, and 5, you know, who knows who's who. But we all have to work together. We have to paddle together. We have to go forward together. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And then next year, in 2 years, we'll need 6,000 houses. In 4 years, we'll need 8,000 houses. And in a decade or so, 20 years, hey, maybe we won't need any because we won't be here. You know, it'll just be, I mean, imagine if we don't work with the Robinsons and they can't subdivide their land anymore because it's 1,000-acre ag parcels. What are the, maybe there's 5 people that can buy everything. Do we want a singular person owning all of Niihau who has
it's
no
It's not working out really well on Lanai.
No. No, it's not. I don't know, but the point is we need to grow. We're all having kids. That's good. Kupuna are living longer. That's good. But we can't put them out on the streets. Not everyone can live on the side of the bike.
Yeah, just try it. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Mauna, have a wonderful week. I know you're slammed. I know you're busy. Every attorney that I'm aware of is saying, I don't have time for this or that. So thank you all. Whether you hug your favorite attorney, we kids just, you know, appreciate those that are involved and appreciate KKCR by showing your support, kkcr.org, and support it with your pocketbook a little bit. You know, a buck here or there can make a big difference around this place. Mahalo, Laura Christine, for producing for us, and half the time they call themselves producers, half the time they call themselves engineers. I don't know. Whatever the heck they are, they make the lights work. They make the sound happen, and I appreciate it. I'm Maka'ala, and we will see you next month, the second Wednesday of every month at 7 a.m. It's Mauna and me talking stuff. And if there's something that you'd like to hear more of, please GM at kkcr.org. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful day. Aloha.